This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. First, a warning. The following conversation may include language offensive to some listeners. Now picture this. You're driving in your car and then this beat comes on. You're really digging it. The song makes your fingers snap. At stoplights, you throw in a shoulder lean that only you can see. But then you hear this from rap phenom Jay-Z. Use the fag bottle for Carcani Esco ass. Went from nasty Nas to Esco's trash. Had a spark when you started, but now you're just garbage. Is it homophobic? Certainly so. Is it hate speech? I'll leave you to decide. One thing's for certain, Jay-Z's not the only guy in hip-hop saying these kinds of things. The question is, when lyrics turn you off, do you turn the radio off? Or at the end of the day, does the beat win? Today, we have a special roundtable on hip-hop and homophobia. We've got Stacey Ann Chin, a writer living in New York City, who's appeared on Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam on Broadway, and Mo Beasley, a poet, sexuality educator, and author of No Good Nigga Blues. We've also got Dead Lee, a rapper and satirist living in Los Angeles. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks for having us.
So, Stacey Ann, do you have a song that you like for the beat, but it has offensive lyrics in it? And how do you make up your mind about this?
It's interesting. We always argue about this in my circle of friends. If the lyrics offend me, because I'm a poet first, so the words are what I am drawn to. If the lyrics offend me, I don't listen to it. I might find myself in moments nodding to a song because music is infectious. It's kind of like laughter. You hear it and you start moving. But as long as I hear something that really offends me, I try my very best not to listen to it.
Dead Lee, if you had a situation of people voting with their derrieres, who gets on the floor, who gets off, a lot of times people vote, I don't care about the lyrics, don't you think?
Exactly. I've been to clubs where just everyone's there to have a good time. They're dancing. They're not listening to lyrics. And I think at that moment, you're just not. You throw everything out the air.
Yeah, it's a definitely interesting situation. And we had artist Toni Blackman on recently, and she said folks use the N-word when they rap because it sounds nice, it's a good place filler, but they're predominantly black artists. Must an artist be gay to have the right to use the words that other gays and lesbians might find offensive? Mo and then Stacey Ann. Mo, what do you think?
I think there is some truth to that. If you are from a certain community, certain communities, minority communities, take derogatory words and they co-opt them to take the power, the bite out of them. And also, if you're from that community, if you choose to do that, because we use that with the N-word and in our black communities, it's hard to check somebody if they choose to do that. I don't recommend it. I don't think it's a smart thing to do, but I'm not going to check gay people if they decide to use derogatory terms in their conversation with each other.
Stacey Ann, what do you think?
I think where we are is trying to figure out what exactly is derogatory and to whom. The N-word has been, you know, there's been a large outcry against the N-word in the upper class and middle class African American communities. I know that the people who largely use that word are usually people who live, you know, not far from where I live in Crown Heights and who stand on Nostrum. Their lives are very different, and we have to look at the history of racism, and we have to look at who it affects, and we have to look at why people behave the way they behave. And it can't be, oh, those people who are using this word and they shouldn't be using it. It's a part of their lingo. It's a part of the vernacular that informs the way they address each other. I think we really are caught up in semantics when we're trying to discuss who should and who shouldn't use the word. What we should probably look at is why it is that particular words have been used historically to refer to certain groups of people, and if that at all affects the lives of the people who we refer to or the people who don't want to be referred to it.
One of those code words is punk, and back in 1993, the group Brand Nubian released this song. The song is called Punks Jump Up to Get Beat Down. It includes a reference to the F word. Dead Lee, do you have to, like, put on your decoder ring to parse out the lyrics? Like, are you always looking, as just individually, for how anti-gay words are put into lyrics?
You know, I realize that sometimes rappers just are, you know, representative of society in general. We've used the gay word, the F word, as kind of a cut down. And sometimes even in my life, I still tend to use something that I think is negative. I'll be like, oh, that's gay. And it's weird, you know, I'm gay myself and I'm saying this. So when you're rapping, it's the same thing. I understand some rappers, they might be using that as a cut down and not necessarily as a cut down to the whole gay world, but more, you know, just trying to, you know, battle somebody.
It's, I want to ask you about your style. I actually saw a group called the Deep Dick Collective.
Right.
You'll never hear those words again on NPR. Just want to let you know.
Of mine. Yeah.
And they're these satirists, you know, rapper satirists. You're a rapper satirist. How do you approach the, you know, describe the kind of stuff that you do?
You know what I've done is, first of all, if you see my image, I probably look like any rapper out there.
Definitely.
They might think I'm a gay bachelor myself. But I think that's part of, that's important. I've come out this way to show that there are gays like myself. There's homo thugs like myself. We're out there. We're representing. And, you know, we're going neck to neck with these guys that are trying to bash us.
You know, we are going to reintroduce our topic. It is the issue of gays and lesbians and homophobia in hip hop. You're listening to NPR's News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We were just hearing from Dead Lee, a rapper and satirist living in Los Angeles. We've also got Stacey Ann Chin, a writer in New York City who's appeared on Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam, and Mo Beasley, a poet and sexuality educator and author of No Good Nigga Blues. Mo, how do you approach dealing with these issues as an artist?
As an artist, hate is something that I attack like a pit bull. And it comes, if it comes as homophobia or as sexism or racism or just, or classism, I'm at the jugular with it. And that's what my poetry is about, because that just separates the human journey. And that's really, we're all here, we're all separate, but we're all part of the same whole. And I'd love to see how other spirits get down in flesh, you know, and express themselves in the world. So people who are trying to shut that out are just driven by fear. And I'm always attacking fear in my own spirit, and I'm attacking fear in the audiences I get to touch and the students I get to teach.
Stacey Ann, you come from a background of being a Caribbean American writer. And there, you talk about Nostrand Avenue, and there's, you know, that's a big nexus of the community. How do you deal with people in your community who might like you in one way and say, wow, she's so talented and she's representing the community and she's on TV? And then they're like, oh, but gays and lesbians, no way, no how, God will strike them down.
I think in the smaller aspect, in the smaller circle of where I live and how I live and who I talk to, it might be uncomfortable. You know, my partner might find it a little uncomfortable to walk through Nostrand to get home from the train. But you cannot look at a behavior in isolation of the history and the socioeconomic politics that inform it. I think we have to, we can't get caught up with trying to wrestle language to the ground without addressing the very issues that inform that language, that feed how it is that people think about homosexuality, or, you know, right, the people who are most oppressed in the world. You know, you find the people who have religion most knife-like against their neck. These are the people who are most homophobic and most violently homophobic. I don't find very many wealthy white men who are, you know, trying to beat down black people or gay people. I think that when people have little themselves and they don't have enough of what they need to live comfortably and to live happy in their own spaces, they find other people to attack. And we need to figure out how it is that we can give people what they need to live so that we can actually sit down and have a conversation that isn't trying to be judgmental about a group of people that we don't know who they are or where they come from or the nature of the lives they lead every day.
Deadly, you use the word homo thug, or the phrase homo thug, which is known in some communities and not in others. And you definitely look, you know, the epitome of hip hop, you know, the facial hair, the dress, the tattoos, you know, the necklace, all that. But when you decided to come out, who did you come out to and how?
Well, you know, at first I did come out to my mom. And I think after I did that, everything was cool. As soon as I knew she accepted me, then everything was easy. And I worked, and I've been working with a lot of gay youth, and I've seen the struggles that they've gone through in school and being out at such a young age, that I really felt like if I didn't come out in my everyday life or in my work rapping, that would be a punk move. I would be the punk jumping up. And I felt like it's just that much more strong, and I'm not being a punk by you know, being out with whatever I'm doing and being a role model to a lot of these young kids who are going to school every day, coming home, you know, bruised up just because they're being who they are.
Do you think that kids are coming out younger today? And if so, how does hip-hop play into that? In the sense that it might, if the lyrics are homophobic, it might be a deterrent if hip-hop is as popular as it is.
Okay. And that's one reason why I even started doing rap, because with these kids, I was listening to Eminem, I was listening to 50 Cent, DMX, who were kind of saying, throwing the F word around and bashing gays a little bit. And I even told the kids, I said, you know what, I'm going to come out with my own album, and I'm going to be the gay rap superstar. And they used to laugh at me. But now I get so many kids happy that I'm out there. I've had a video that was number one on Logo, which addressed the whole issue. It was called Good Soldier 2, that addressed gay suicide. And a lot of kids have hit me up on the MySpace just saying, you know, that's my story, and I'm glad you're out there representing. And I wish I had that when I was young. I wish I had somebody to look up to. I just had like an Elton John or a Charles Nelson Reilly, you know, God bless him, who just died. But, you know, that wasn't me.
That wasn't hip-hop.
No, that wasn't me. And it's like, it's just nice to see that, you know, there's a Deadly, there's a Johnny Dangerous, there's Tory Fix, other gay rappers out there, you know, that are out there for the new generation.
Mo, there was a situation where Busta Rhymes said that he was going to take shots at gay men, and the general public didn't really pick up on that much. Do you really think that this is an issue of how the broader hip-hop audience perceives what rappers should and shouldn't say? And also, how do you throw the issue of free speech into that?
I think we have an interesting dynamic in the black community. We think because we're a minority group or we are a oppressed group, we have the right to say anything foul to anybody. And so it's okay, and we don't check ourselves. But so I guess the question is, the people who don't agree with Buster or are not happy with that have to speak up, even if you love his work. And you don't shut people off. I don't think it's black or white. You go, well, Buster says something foul, and I'm not with that, so I got to shut him off. No, that's not how you love somebody through their bigotry. Now, you just step to them directly and say, yo, man, I love what you do, but what you say is hurting people.
Mo, you still argue that hip-hop can be used as an educational tool. Explain the upside. Tell me what you mean by that.
It's an art form, and it speaks to a specific generation. I'm a graduate of Howard University, and my mentors at Howard said, as a black artist, you define our existence. You speak our truths, our fears, our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations, our failures. So it has to come from you to be authentic. Hip-hop comes from today's generation and the generations behind us, and they speak authentically about what life is like if you are poor black Latino in the inner city in America. And so it has to keep speaking to that, from that community to the world. So with that, I bring that into the classroom to embrace what is good about hip hop. And then, because there's nothing all good or nothing all bad. So you come in and you embrace what is good about it, and you challenge what needs to grow in it.
Stacey Ann, I'm going to kick off something that we've done in a couple of our other roundtables, which is just to ask people what they're listening to and what they recommend. And I want you to add the spin to it of, since you say you just don't deal with lyrics that you consider wrong or hateful, explain how your favorites factor into that decision.
I find myself listening to a lot of angst white women singing about feminist issues and, you know, the likes of Ani DiFranco. I've begun to listen to the work of Michelle Ndegi Ochello, which is, I think, wonderful music, and it talks about human rights and about kind of being a good person in the world. But I want to deviate a little bit by just saying that this conversation is homophobia and sexism and racism. It's not really about hip-hop. Hip-hop is just one aspect of our society that reflects this and reflects these ideas and puts them out there in music, and they probably use language that is a little more offensive to some of us than we are comfortable with. But the system we live under is homophobic. The system we live under is sexist. Gay people in New York, one of the most, you know, so-called progressive cities in the world, we are still rallying and begging and lobbying and protesting for the right to marry each other and to adopt babies and to live in a world where we are whole people. And so it is important just to say that
well,
that our world has changed.
Chris X, who co-wrote the autobiography of 50 Cent, said pretty much the same thing in the context of gender and sexism. I do want to get a few more recommendations. Deadly, what do you listen to?
Well, see, it's going to throw everything out of the box now, because I'm actually listening to stuff you would think gay guys would listen to. I'm listening to Christina Aguilera. I'm listening to, I'm listening to Pink.
There's no shame in that game.
Yeah, there's not a lot of hip-hop artists except for a fellow homo rappers that I'm feeling. And I guess because they're talking what I'm talking about. There's Jen Roe, lesbian rapper out of San Francisco. I'm a big fan of hers. Selvi Mex, they're like a Latin. They do a lot of their stuff in Spanish, and I listen to them. And so I'm listening to
You mentioned a couple others earlier. Who were they?
Johnny Dangerous, Tori Fix. And there's a whole crew of us. And, you know, we actually did a Homo Revolution tour, and we went to cities through the Southwest just to show people that we're out there. And because a lot of people weren't even aware. And I think that's the whole point, is standing up, letting people know that we're out there. I kind of want to be like, whenever somebody says the N-word, you know, you see Al Sharpton standing up. You know, he's right there. I want to be that person. It's like whenever someone's throwing the F word, it's like, oh, Deadly. Come on. Come correct him. Yeah. I want to be that person.
Mo, we're almost out of time. Do you have a quick recommendation or two?
I'm still listening to Commons B. That album is, I think, the future of hip-hop. Like, I still run those 11 tracks, listening to a lot of the Roots. I listen to Ani DeFranco, Sweet Honey and the Rock. I'm really one of those. This morning I'm listening to Paul Winter and, you know, his music, which is totally separate from all of this. I love the music of the world. So I think
all
that's
right.
what, yeah.
Well, I mean, we have to leave it there. Stacey Ann, Mo, Deadly, thanks to you all.
Thanks for having us.
Stacey Ann Chin is a writer living in New York City who's appeared on Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam on Broadway. Mo Beasley is a poet, sexuality educator, and author of No Good Nigga Blues. He and Stacey Ann both came into NPR's New York studios. And Dead Lee is a rapper and satirist living in Los Angeles. He's got an album called Assault with a Deadly Weapon, and he joined me at NPR West.